This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
It's Pi Day 314. Happy Pi Day, kids. Happy, and it's not about dessert pie. No, it's about pizza pie. It's Friday in Lent. Come on, what are we doing here? It's Friday in Lent. It's about the pizza in the oven. Good afternoon, good evening. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here on a Friday. What a week we've had today, huh? A lot of fun. Maxine Waters says that Trump is trying to start a civil war. So that's good. I just hope we can get through Pi Day first before we have a civil war. Now, the truth is that I just texted my wife. I said, please turn the oven on because we're doing it inside tonight. The outdoor wood-fired pizza oven, I have to season it again. I have to re-season it because I haven't used it lately at all, given the foot situation. And also because it was winter and stuff. So what you want to do is you want to start a series of small fires. It takes about a week until you bring it up to full temperature. If you just bring it up to full temperature, you'll get cracks in it. It'll be a disgrazia. So you got to do it that way. But what I do on the indoor pizza oven, if you're curious, if you're wondering and you're thinking to yourself, all right, maybe I'll make some homemade pies. It's not hard to do. You get a pizza steel, put it on the bottom rack of the oven, on the lowest rack. On the top rack, you want to raise it to the very top of the oven. You put a pizza stone. I put two of them. And what that does is it recreates a wood-fired pizza oven, a brick oven pizza, I should say, not wood-fired, but brick oven pizza in your kitchen. It's a beautiful thing. Crank that baby up as high as it'll go. Keep it going for a good hour to heat up the steel and heat up the stones. Then lower the temperature a little bit. And then what you want to do is you want to put the, because it's not going to cook as, you got it, this is, and then it all, this is complicated because it depends on the kind of flour you use, it depends if you use a sourdough starter, the level of moisture in the flour, but sometimes if it's too high in the home oven and you don't have the right flour and there's not enough hydration, you're going to dry that baby out and it's going to become a frisbee. But what I do is I crank it up as high as I can, I lower it down to about 450, and then I put it on convection. And then I'm making one tonight in a black aluminum Sicilian pan to recreate a grandma style pizza. And then I'm also doing a couple of pies right on the pizza steel itself. And of course, cooking with Reagan tonight, we'll be making this together. And it'll be a wonderful thing on National Pi Day. So happy Pi Day. That's if we make it. I don't know if we're going to make it. Are we going to make it because Trump is trying to start a civil war? So I don't know. I don't know what to say. I really don't know. It may all come crashing down before I even get to put any of the fresh basil on the pizza. Oh, and since I've been asked this question before about sauce, what I do is I take some Jersey tomatoes. Scalfalini is the brand, or Scalfani, I forget. I do that. I open them up. I get them big. I buy them in bulk at Restaurant Depot. And then I drain them, get the water out, olive oil, garlic, crushed garlic, salt. And since we're all talking about microplastics these days, I saw that my buddy Dr. Nicole Sapphire said, you don't want to use sea salt anymore. I guess because of the microplastics. So they're recommending now pink Himalayan salt. So fine with me. I'll go with a little pink Himalayan salt on there. I'm man enough to do pink salt on my pizza. Not a problem for me. No problem at all. And then throw it on there. And since it's Friday in Lent, I'm going to scare the heck out of everybody and throw some anchovies on one of the pies. And scare the bejesus out of them. Because the kids are going to be like, ew, what's that? But it's time they learn. It's time they learn the power of the anchovy pie. Okay? Maybe I'll do a little white clam pie, too, at some point. I don't know. Not tonight, though. Not tonight. I didn't buy any clams. That's the thing. So will we get there, though? Will we survive? Will we make it through the weekend is the question. I don't know. I'm a little nervous now.
I'm worried.
I'm a little nervous given what Maxine Waters has said. It's very possible. It's very possible that we may be in a situation where by the end of this weekend, the biggest thing we have to fight about is not just simply whether or not to put pineapple on a pizza. We already know the answer to that is no. It's this.
I'm worried that Trump is on the edge of creating a civil war. He alluded to it more than once. He alluded to the fact that if he did not get reelected, that there could be a civil war. What does Trump expect? Oh, I believe he expects violence. I believe he expects confrontation. I believe he's working toward a civil war. We're not going to get goaded. I'm worried, too.
A civil war. The problem for the left is, and this is why I think you should be really worried about a civil war, is none of you people have guns. I mean, I'm just saying, if you're really worried about a civil war, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but our side's going to win because you people don't have any firearms because you hate guns so much. What, do you shoot rubber bands at us? Huh? Are you going to shoot rubber bands at us? I don't think so. But I just think some of these people are freaking nuts. Oh, and you know, the other thing too is that now that the Democrats have abandoned their confident stance on the shutdown, and now that they've caved on this, I guess really the only question is what else will they cave on? The answer is probably going to wind up being everything. Now, it's Friday. I don't want to put you to sleep, but Chuck Schumer, a little bit of what he had to say on this.
Want to burn everything to the ground.
Wait, what? Start that over again.
Sycophants and MAGA radicals who want to burn everything to the ground.
MAGA radicals?
Sycophants and MAGA radicals who want to burn everything to the ground.
Wait.
Look no further than what Doge.
I think you're confusing me. I said you don't want to burn the pizza. I literally just said that. I said that's why you got to be careful with the oven temperature. Look, if you can make it 550 and you can go and you got the right dough and the right hydration and you're ready to go, fine, go with it. But then remember something, though. You got to deal with the cheese factor because then you can dry up the cheese. It's a process. It's taken me years and years and years. And obviously, since I work in radio, it's very possible I'll be opening up Richie's Wood-Fired Pizza Palace very soon and doing a podcast. So just kidding, am I? But do we want to burn everything down? And I don't think that's what we're trying to do here. What we're trying to do is we're trying to save the taxpayers' money and we're trying to rein in government. That's what we're trying to do. Ending the weaponization of government, trying to slash the size of government is not burning it all down. The hysterics of these people
is doing. Now Republicans' nihilism has brought us to the brink of disaster. Unless Congress acts, the federal government will shut down tomorrow at midnight. I have said many times there are no winners in a government shutdown.
Actually, if you win, what I would suggest, Chuck, throw a nice frozen patty on the grill, right? And don't even turn the flame on, then put a nice slice of American cheese on there. Delicious. Remember Chuck Schumer's Father's Day grilling tips? That meme that was taken down. He put a picture of himself with a frozen raw cheeseburger, and then he puts a slice of cheese on it on the grill, like he's pretending to grill. I think America's mother-in-law Elizabeth Warren did something very similar to that as well. I'm pretty sure she did. But anyway, so the Democrats that's where they are right now. They're gonna capitulate on this, and even though they don't want to, they know it's a huge political loser for them. That's the analysis here. That's what it really comes down to. And that's the big story of the day on our fourth and final hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, VanariaDental.com. So, I mean, it's bad politics for them. It's really bad politics for them. But everything they do is bad politics. They're just freaking nuts right now. Like, here is Representative Ayanna Pressley with another optimistic, upstanding, just really motivational message for the American people.
It's important to remind people how we got here. We find ourselves on the brink of a Republican manufactured shutdown, which no one wants. But the options here are not a Republican manufactured government shutdown or a Republican ripoff, which means to gut the essential services that are essential for people's lives. Veterans, health care and food assistance for our seniors, housing assistance that helps our most vulnerable. There is another option here on the table, and that is a 30-day stopgap spending bill, which Democrats are ready to vote on now so that we can actually do the work of a bipartisan negotiation. They need to advance this Trump spending bill, this harmful Trump spending bill. They need 60
votes. This is your spending. This is your spending. What are you talking about? All we're doing is keeping it going. I'd be happy if you don't want to spend any of this money. But it's your money, you idiots. It's your money. So, I mean, this is what you're pushing here. This is what you're pushing. And by the way, the FBI director, Kash Patel, you know, this whole swatting thing. I want to address the alarming rise in swatting incidents targeting media figures. The FBI is aware of this dangerous trend, and my team and I are already taking action to investigate and hold those responsible accountable. This isn't about politics. Weaponizing law enforcement against any American is not only morally reprehensible, but also endangers lives, including those of our officers. This will not be tolerated. We are fully committed to working with local law enforcement to crack down on these crimes. More to come. I was really our friend Sean Farish, who you hear on the morning show all the time, doing his Trump impression. I was out to dinner, saw this text, his tweet. He's getting swatted. I just thought, oh man, you know, this is a time. Then our buddy Joe Pags, he got swatted too. This is dangerous. And the question that Senator Mike Lee asked about this whole issue is whether or not this should be charged with attempted murder if somebody swats somebody. So what do we mean by swatting? What happens is that they'll call 911 and they'll tell the police that somebody on the site has a gun or is shooting people or is dead or is going to take their lives or something. But either way, it's the kind of panic call to law enforcement that sends adrenaline soaring and literally guns blazing. As in that they show up at a house expecting the absolute worst. You have to realize something. When you're a police officer, well, I'm not, but my dad is, and I grew up around cops, and obviously I have a lot of friends who are cops. The two scariest moments for a police officer when you pull over a car is you don't know who's behind the wheel. You don't know what you're about to expect there. You don't know what to expect. You just don't know. And then the other thing, too, is when you're responding to either a domestic violence situation or a situation where somebody is suicidal or something at the house, but there's a firearm involved. I mean, these are incredibly scary situations because they're so unpredictable. So now, you know, the cops get a phone call and they say so-and-so has a gun and they're threatening to kill themselves. They just shot their family, whatever. And then the SWAT team literally shows up. You know, the guys who were trained for the worst of the worst, who can go in and breach a situation with long guns and you are putting, when people do this, it is so incredibly dangerous because you got the cops are on their way over there thinking, am I going to come home tonight to see my family? They don't know what situation they're expecting. So the adrenaline is going to straight through the roof to a thousand. And they show up at the situation and they get to a house because there's nothing happening there. So it's super quiet. Typically, these people do these swatting things in the middle of the night. So get to the house, it's super quiet, which is also scary in that sense too. And they start walking around the property. Now, if you're the victim of the swatting, you might see flashlights in your backyard. You might look through the window and see somebody with a gun, not realize it's law enforcement because it's night out and they're usually dressed in very dark colors, dark vests. And you may pull out a weapon thinking that you've got to go defend your home or your family. And then the minute that you open the door with a gun, it just may be the end of your life. And that's exactly what these monsters do when they SWAT people, when they have law enforcement respond to a situation there that it was a firearm. That's what they do. It's that. It's to try to get somebody killed. And so I was listening to my buddy Joe Pags talked about this, and he's got guns. I mean, most conservative hosts have guns. And most of us are of the mindset that we'd want to defend our family and defend our property. And the cops don't know. You know, they're going to a situation where they believe that there's somebody there in an incredibly dangerous situation. And then if that door opens and there's a gun. So Senator Mike Lee said this, they should be charged with attempted murder for swatting. I agree. I 100% agree with it. 1,000, 1,000,000% agree. Because you are putting everybody's lives at risk. And if there's kids involved, I mean, I was thinking about this from the perspective of our family. And I know the cops in my town. They're wonderful. They're great people. And I would, you know, we've already talked about, God forbid, should this situation ever occur to me and my family, what would happen. But I was just thinking about, you know, if you got young kids and cops show up at your house because of a swatting incident, and then, you know, one of the kids gets scared and walks down, opens the door, and it could be the worst possible scenario. So it needs to be investigated. These people need to be prosecuted. And I just want to ask the left, why do you keep doing this? I mean, you despise guns, but you despise us so much more. You hate conservatives so much more. You hate what we do that much more that you would want to see us potentially die, or maybe potentially a cop get shot. I mean, because that's the other scenario, too, right? You open the door, you see somebody in the backyard with a gun. You don't even think twice. You just take a shot at him, and you find out it's a cop, and now you just shot at a police officer. So, you know, till you work out that legal fiasco, if you're alive, if you live to tell about it, it's just a scenario where everything that could possibly go wrong could go wrong. Now, in the case of Sean Farish and Joe Pags and Cat Turd and some of the others that have been swatted, everything was okay. Everything worked out well. And, you know, the only advice I would give in that situation, if it ever happens to you, because it's also happened to civilians, meaning people that are not in the conservative world, but you might be active in your local, I don't know, Republican Party, conservative movement or something like this. You might be online. You might be saying things online, and they want to target you. What I would just say is in these situations, try to understand that at that moment, law enforcement is at a 10 in terms of adrenaline and fear and everything else. They're at a 10. And you would be too, quite frankly. If you were called in a situation like that, and you're on the SWAT team, and you've trained for these situations, you get to a house, and it's dark, it's the middle of the night, it's quiet, you don't hear a peep, but you've been told that something's happening inside, you would be terrified too. And that's when things go wrong. Things go wrong in those kind of situations, the unpredictable ones. So if, God forbid, it ever happens to you, just keep that in mind. Try to use a cool head. And the best thing to do at that moment would be what Joe Pags did. Pick up the phone, call 911 and say, hey, I think I'm being swatted here. Is this you guys in the backyard? You know, and if not, can you please send somebody over to the house? Because there's people in my backyard with guns. Don't try to get into a situation yourself where you confront anybody. If there's a knock on the door in that moment, I would suggest very strongly turning the lights on. Open the door, hands up, hands where you can see, because they don't know what to expect on the other side. And these swatters come up with some very creative scenarios to really scare the police into these situations. And they might even come up with a situation where they say, you're being held hostage or something like that. So who knows? Until this situation, and it's never going to be fully under control, because these people are lunatics and they're evil. They're pure evil. There's no way to put it, just pure evil. And many times it doesn't happen within the jurisdiction where the swatting occurred, which is why it needs to be dealt with on the federal level, prosecuted on the federal level, because it should be a federal offense to do this to somebody. Just because, you know, you've got some person, some keyboard warrior in Alabama who does this to somebody who's living in Pennsylvania, then that absolutely 100% needs to be prosecuted as attempted murder on the federal level. No doubt about it. And there should be civil suits, too. You should be able to sue them civilly for whatever stress that they've caused on you. And that's it. You really want to shut them down? You start going after them, going after their money. You make people think twice. So you start locking these people up. You put them away in prison. And then that's when it'll stop, if it ever stops. Because some of them are really good about hiding their tracks. You know, that's the other thing, too, is a lot of these people are very good at hiding their tracks. And they try to come up with situations where they can you know, where they can do this and then not be held accountable for it by just disappearing onto the dark web or wherever else. So I'm glad to hear both Kash Patel and Pam Bondi say that we're going to put all the full weight of law enforcement behind this to deal with this situation on the federal level, because it's the only way that we're going to really make it stop, is if federal resources are used here to protect people, and they have to protect them. You know, they have to protect them from this. It's just simply the only way. It's a scary, scary situation. And I just want to play a little bit for you from what happened to Sean Farish. And you probably know this by now in terms of what Sean went through. But just in case you're getting out of work, it's Friday night and you want to understand a little bit about what happened to Sean. And this is what he said on social media yesterday.
Hey guys, it's Sean, my wife Brennan, and I just wanted to give you guys an update. We did just get swatted here in Tennessee. The officer said they received a phone call that somebody murdered somebody in the house and was planning a suicide by cop. So I received the call with that information. We cooperated with police. They were very nice.
The same guy they called,
very nice,
right?
Very, very nice. They were not aware that this was going on across the country. But was that, you know, how did you feel about that? What was going through your head when you saw officers in the backyard with guns?
I was shaking. I was terrified. I was the only one awake. He was asleep.
Yeah.
And they were just pointing their guns into the house. And I was very scared. I was very scared.
And that's the point, and that's what these people are trying to do. They're trying to silence folks who are not afraid to speak their mind online. And you've seen it happen to so many other people across the country. We are going to do what we can from Tennessee.
Some people say I sound like him, or he sounds like me, I should say. I don't know if that's true, but he's a very talented guy. He's a really good guy, too. He's a really good guy. And I would bring him on this show, but I tend to try to give shows that have recurring guests, I try to let those shows have those recurring guests. I try to not poach. I don't know. I just think it's better for the station in that respect. Like, if you hear recurring guests on this show and then they're on other shows, and then I don't know. I mean, it's just, to me personally, that's how I like to do it. So if you're ever wondering, like, Zilli, how come you don't get Farish on? It's just that. It's just, I mean, he's on Kale & Company. He's a regular on the show, and I don't need to poach him. I don't need to borrow him. In my mind, if you're listening to the station all day, which many people do, they listen from morning till night, and I'm grateful for that. They turn the radio off with PhD on. They wake up with PhD on. I just think it's better if throughout the day you hear different voices. And each show has their own kind of people. You know, we got Coates, we got Riley, we got Jack Carr's our guy who comes on. And I like that. I respect that. I think it's good. And you leave other shows to kind of have their peeps, you know, their people. And then every day throughout the day, it sounds a little fresh in my sense. And I've learned that, too, from doing Fox News stuff, too, where I had a situation where I got booked on a show and then I got called on to go on America's Newsroom. This is many, many months ago. And I was already, they couldn't have me on two shows in the same day, which I understand. And we try to keep that policy here as well. But that's why now I'm kind of America's Newsroom's guy. If you're wondering why in some ways I don't go on other shows, it's not that I don't want to. I mean, Jimmy obviously is a different Saturday night, but it's not that I don't want to. It's just like they like their people. Every show has their own people. Harris Faulkner has Jason Rance on from Seattle a lot. Every show has their peeps, and that's good with me. I'm good with that. I think it keeps it fresh. I think it keeps it interesting and exciting. But anyway, so I'm just happy that everything's okay for Sean and for Joe Pags and these guys. They're the good people, and they should not have to go through with this. So, yeah, prosecute him on the federal level, attempted murder, absolutely 100%, and then let the people who are the victims of this sue their asses civilly. That's how you make this stop. All right, just again, in case you're wondering, on a happy note, because the Grand Hotel of Cape May, we do have our dates for the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. I have them confirmed here, so I'm going to share them with you once again. June 20th, 6:20, 8:15, August 15th, 10:31, Halloween, baby, and December 19th for our Christmas Spectacular Zioli Show on Ice. All right, those are the four dates, so I'm excited for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you join us for that. Coming up, let's talk climate change, phony climate change science, the fugazi of climate change that we all hear about all the time. I got a great guy coming up. We're going to break it down in terms of the lies that are being told and how the left's war on energy is costing all of us more money. Don't believe the hype. Please don't believe the hype and what they're telling us about what's going on with the climate. We're coming right back.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we all know climate science is junk, but thank God we have a president of the United States who's looking to expand America's energy, not just independence, but dominance. And this is what we need for the next 100, 150 years. But yet there's still going to be a lot of pushback by the left. This morning, listening on the radio, NPR going on about how we need clean, new, green energy. Joining us now, Steve Gorham is executive director of the Climate Science Coalition of America, author of numerous books. Hey, Steve, thanks for making the time for us in Philadelphia.
Hey, Rich, great to join you today.
So when we talk about climate science, all right, first of all, I mean, the and I'm going to use air quotes here, science. Explain to us when we say climate science, who because we always hear the consensus is there. By whom?
Well, there's really not a consensus that we have dangerous climate change, but the world jumped to a conclusion about 1988. The Senate held hearings. And Dr. James Hance of NASA said the Earth was warming, and he thought humans were causing it. But the United Nations formed the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. And then just 3 years later at the Rio de Janeiro Earth Conference, 46 nations said climate change was a problem and signed a treaty to reduce it. For the last 25 years, they've been arguing about how much to reduce emissions. But more and more evidence is that climate is dominated by nature, not human emissions. And despite the fact that the world spent about $2 trillion last year on green energy, there's really no evidence that that's going to have a measurable effect on global temperatures. President Trump is on the right track. Let's get back to sensible energy policy.
A lot of these green things will have an intended impact or unintended impact of killing whales and dolphins, though. I mean, off the Jersey Shore, we've been talking about this for years. These wind turbines, these massive structures higher than the Eiffel Tower, thousands of them, whales and dolphins dying. But yet, with all of the green nonsense, and let's just take New Jersey, for example, because it's a big story right now. Ratepayers are looking at increases coming up this summer, starting in June, of about 17%. Businesses are looking at 25%. So you have Democrats blaming the governor now for his energy master plan. The fact is that the alternative energy, the green energy, whatever you want to call it, is not providing the energy needs that we need in America, especially as we're plugging in more and more electric vehicles into the grid.
Well, right. You're correct. It's very expensive. You hear in the press all the time how wind and solar are the cheapest electrical power. That is not correct. If you look at where renewables have been deployed, for example, in Europe, you find the nations that put in the most wind and solar, like Denmark and Germany, have the highest electricity prices. If you look at in the U.S., the top 12 wind states, 7 of those states have had electricity that's been rising faster than the national average. Today, California is at about 32 cents a kilowatt hour, double the national average in any nearby state. So wind and solar are cheaper. So this push for green energy is hurting citizens. It's costing them more. It's giving them less choices. We have states want to eliminate gasoline vehicles and gas stoves in homes. So Mr. Trump is looking to reverse a lot of that nonsense.
So you've had many successful books, Green Breakdown, The Coming Renewable Energy Failure. My favorite is Outside the Green Box, Rethinking Sustainable Development, and The Mad, Mad World of Climatism, among others. Now, you're an expert in this area, so then help us out, because people listening are going, all right, but we need clean air, we need clean water, and we don't want to have climate change lead to the destruction of mankind. So you said that the climate is changing, but it's changing not because of mankind or humankind, as Justin Trudeau would say. So then why is the climate changing?
Well, climate's always changing. We have everything that influences the climate. We have effects in our solar system, our atmosphere, our land, and our oceans that affect global temperatures. But people have conflated two things. They talk about clean air and water, which we definitely want, but that means we need to get rid of ozone and particulates and lead and sulfur dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, things that can harm people. But instead, they're now calling carbon dioxide a pollutant, which is foolish. There are three substances on Earth and in the universe that are essential for life. Those are water, oxygen, and carbon dioxide. We each breathe out about 2 pounds of carbon dioxide every single day of our lives. Carbon dioxide is great, but if you're a marijuana grower, you're smarter than the EPA. Every cannabis grower is pumping carbon dioxide into their greenhouse to make their crops grow bigger and faster. And literally, if there's one compound we can put into the biosphere that is great for the environment, carbon dioxide is that compound. Yet today, the environmental groups are calling it a pollutant. And every university, every company is trying to reduce their CO2 footprint. Very, very foolish.
Well, I think you've just said something on a Friday that we can all agree on, which is that if it can grow marijuana, it can probably solve the world's problems. So that's good. Steve Gorham is with me. It's great to have him on the show this morning. We're talking climate and the nonsense and the science. So this was a big week today. The whole week was great. Lee Zeldin, the new administrator of the EPA, announcing the single biggest day of deregulation in our nation's recent history. And he's going to roll back what you just mentioned, Steve, which is this fear-mongering about carbon dioxide, among other things. I say thank God to that, because it's common sense. But why do you think it is that people hear carbon dioxide and think scary? I mean, I know carbon monoxide's scary. It's why we have carbon monoxide alarms in our house. But what has been the propaganda? Because I've always wondered this. Like, what's been the propaganda, Steve, that has led us to believe that carbon dioxide is bad for us?
Well, I call it climatism. It's an ideology. It's the fear of man-made global warming. As I said, James Hansen and a number of other computer modelers told us CO2 is increasing, humans were causing it, and it was causing all kinds of problems with ocean level rise, storms, everything you can imagine. The fear of man-made warming is powerful, and it's driving much of today's society. We're in the midst of the biggest superstition in modern history. You know, the United Nations recently said that we're in the age of global boiling, and you read all this stuff in headlines, but temperatures have increased a little, but only 1 degree Celsius in 140 years. I mean, it's very, very small. And also, there's a lot of evidence that shows that current temperatures are not particularly warm. We've had many times in the last 10,000 years when it's been warmer than today. Many areas where we've had, where today we have glaciers, in the past we had forests. And so we're in a gentle warming. Nothing that's a problem, yet this fear that's driven by climatism has captured the world.
And the polar bears are doing better than ever, aren't they, Steve? Because that was the other fear monger. I remember that from Al Gore's movie, the little cartoon polar bear falling off ice and drowning. But there's more of them ever, and they're nasty, too. I should point that out. They're nasty little SOBs.
That's another thing. Back about 1970, there were about 8,000 polar bears in the world. And now we have about 30,000, despite this gentle warming. And the reason is that the northern nations of the world all signed treaties restricting hunting. But now we have a lot of polar bears, and in many locations, they're actually nuisances. They're coming into towns and other sorts of problems. So it's just another fear that climatism has put into a society that isn't true.
Steve Gorham's with me, Executive Director, Climate Science Coalition of America, Executive Director, Climate Science Coalition of America. He's got a book coming out, or recently out, The Coming Green Breakdown. The Coming Green Breakdown. Green energy means higher energy prices, electricity blackouts, less freedom, and transnational energy shocks. People will demand a return to low-cost, reliable energy. So this is what scares me, right? What scares me is that you have these politicians who put in these climate master plans. Like, again, I'll return to New Jersey because it's a very hot topic in our area right now. By 2035, all cars have to be electric. No more oil, no more natural gas, wind turbines, all nonsense. The Board of Public Utilities of New Jersey says we can't get enough energy to supply our needs, so now we have to buy it outside of the state. And so as a consequence of that, now the Board of Public Utilities votes to raise rates on everybody. So you've got a situation where not only are we going to be paying more for this, but we're going to be running out of it, which is also scary. If you think about policies down the road that are put in place by people like Gavin Newsom, Justin Trudeau, Phil Murphy, all across the board, the fear that I have, and I don't want to fear monger, Steve, because that's what the left does on this stuff, but the fear that I have is that truly, like in 10 years, we'll become so dependent upon Russia and China and Venezuela and the Gulf states for oil and natural gas that America will be not just weakened, but I mean crippled on the world stage. And a lot of bad guys are going to be making a lot of money off of us. And at the same time, we're all going to be paying so much more for whatever little electricity we can get.
Well, the good news is that some of that is overstated. President Biden actually did all he could to try and restrict oil and gas, but he wasn't very successful. By the end of his term, we were producing record amounts of petroleum. We are the biggest producer of petroleum and natural gas in the world. And President Trump is expanding that. So we have a lot of oil and natural gas. The problem is that the Biden administration was trying to shift everybody to electric cars, mm-hmm. to wind turbines, to solar. And those are mostly imported from China or Europe. And all those special metals that are going into electric cars come from China and overseas. So it's a shift away from our strength, which was coal, oil, and gas, to all these other renewables, which require a lot of things from China. Just very bad policy. The great news is that President Trump has really dropped a bomb on green energy.
Yeah.
And he's trying to roll back all these incentives for EVs. He stopped offshore, all the leases for offshore wind. And in New Jersey, I know you wanted to build a lot of offshore wind along with the other eastern states. Those things are basically being shut down. And he's also stopped the funding that has come out of the Inflation Reduction Act. And like a total of $2 trillion over 10 years, just vast amounts of sums going into all sorts of things that would not exist, like carbon dioxide pipelines, carbon dioxide capture, green hydrogen, even electric vehicle charging. There's not a single company in the world that can make money on electric vehicle charging right now. They all lose money. Without federal and state subsidies, we wouldn't have that. So there's going to be some big changes in the energy scene here.
Yeah, although the way the left is acting towards Elon Musk, Steve, I could also see them putting in a policy that says by 2035, everyone has to drive a gas-powered vehicle. I'm kidding, but I mean, it is pretty insane what they're doing to the guy that made the electric vehicle, easier to get for the masses. Now, my favorite quote this week was by the Defense Secretary, Pete Hegseth, who said the following. He said, the Defense Department does not do climate change crap. That was said by the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, earlier this week. I love that, Steve. It made me very, very happy to hear that. The Defense Department does not do climate change crap. Give me your reaction to that.
Well, it's terrific. And it was announced that the Department of Defense has stopped 91 studies focused on climate. They're going to save more than $30 million in the first year. It's amazing. And I talk about it in my book, Green Breakdown, what the military has spent over the last 10 or 15 years, just money wasted. During the Obama administration, there was a big push for biofuels. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, the U.S. Secretary of the Navy, Ray Mabus, in 2011, said by no later than 2020, at least half of all energy that the Navy uses, both afloat and ashore, will come from non-fossil fuel sources. Well, they spent $57 billion by 2017 trying to convert fleets to biofuels. And by 2020, a half of a percent of the fuel used by the Navy was biofuels. That's for almost $100 billion. Just goofy policies. We've had all these policies too. They're talking about electric tanks, and but you know, you can't fuel them anywhere, and they don't have any range. Just goofy stuff. So Hegseth is putting a stop to all of this. And it's going to be great for the taxpayer.
I can't wait till they go, you know, hey, Billy, why isn't this tank moving? They go, oh, forgot to plug it in last night, General. Sorry about that. Sorry, Sarge. Now, but here's the real problem about global warming. And this is serious right now, Steve Gorham. It's that it is leading to a rise in infidelity. So we have to talk about that to save our country.
Yeah, one of the things about my book, Green Breakdown, is the color paperback. I hired a cartoonist to do a cartoon in front of every chapter. And there's also 150 color sidebars about all these crazy headlines about climate and energy. And you just mentioned one of them. The Miami New Times had a headline, "Global Warming Makes Couples Cheat," says a dating site. So now you have an excuse for your spouse. You know, global warming made me do it. But it's just goofy, all the things that we have going on with climate and renewable energy. And those are captured in Green Breakdown.
So the last thing I wanted to chat with you about, and you know, you're terrific on this. I mean, you are an expert. You know this stuff better than anybody, is what's at the bottom of the world. And I'll tell you the reason why. There's a show on TV right now. It's a show on Hulu. It's called Paradise. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. The premise of the show is that basically it's about a presidential assassination, but without giving too much away, it's kind of a dystopian future and the end of the world. But one of the things about it is that there's this volcano, you know, that's trapped under all this ice that blows up. And the theory is that climate change has caused the ice to melt, and therefore that the undersea volcanoes are going to wind up being able to destroy the Earth. And so what you found, something which I found fascinating, or you point out in one of your books, is that there's a melting glacier uncovered a 4,000-year-old wood. The rock surface has been ice-free 5,800 of the last 10,000 years. So what does that mean for us in terms of this idea that what's under the ice, and if the ice melts, and because it is now being used as Hollywood to kind of scare everybody, like, you know, once that ice melts, we don't know what's underneath there, and it could all kill us.
Well, that's what I said about today's temperatures not being particularly warm. You're mentioning the Rhone Glacier, which is in central Switzerland. It's a glacier mountainside to mountainside. The Rhone River flows out of it into France and down in the Mediterranean. That glacier has been receding for more than a century, but every time it pulls back, they find things like horse bridles and wagon wheels underneath it and 4,000-year-old wood. And many scientists say that valley has been ice-free for most of the last 10,000 years. This is just one of many examples that show that we've had warmer times in the past when there weren't any CO2 emissions, there weren't any power plants or cars. So, you know, the Earth warms, climate change is natural, it's driven by nature, not human emissions. The only sensible policy is adaptation. You know, if you're worried about ocean rise, you do what Netherlands has done for hundreds of years. They build islands, they build dikes. Thinking that you can all drive SUVs, you can all drive EVs and stop the oceans from rising, that's superstition.
And then lastly, Steve Gorham, and I appreciate your time today. How do we get out of all these international climate accords? Because I know, you know, the bond villains at the WEF, the World Economic Forum and the World Bank and all these other countries would like to control the United States from a sovereignty perspective. And I think a lot of what's driving all this climate madness is truly to try to transition us to socialism. I really do believe that. It's unfair to the developing nations who would love to have air conditioning and would love to be able to keep their food refrigerated and have the kind of medicine that we have here in the Western world. A lot of their policies restrict those countries. I think it's incredibly arrogant. But what should President Trump do if he were to ask your opinion? And he should, because you really are truly an expert in all this stuff. So if he or Lee Zeldin were to ask you and they say, all right, Steve Gorham, what do we need to do on the international front? Give us some guidance on that.
Well, they've already done a bunch of it. On his first day in office, January 20th, President Trump signed a bunch of executive orders. And several of them were about climate. First, he withdrew again from the Paris Climate Agreement. He had withdrawn in his first term. Mr. Biden brought us back in. He's canceling all payments into international climate. That's $4 billion a year from the U.S. And then he's also canceling money from the United States Agency for International Development, USAID. Mm-hmm. They were giving $2,000 a year. So that money that the U.S. was giving was about 10% of total funding globally for climate. So he's getting rid of all of that. He has canceled the new Green Deal. He calls it the Green New Deal. He calls it the Green New Scam. And it's really even more than I expected. This is much more than what he did in his first term. And it really means a complete 180-degree turn on climate policy in the U.S. It's great. We're going to get back to sensible energy policy going forward.
Excellent stuff. You should visit Steve at his website at stevegoram.com, G-O-R-E-H-A-M, to learn more. You'll see his books. You'll see his videos. You'll see a lot of his podcasts that he's done as well. And I appreciate your time today. I really do. It's great to have you. Executive Director, Climate Science Coalition of America. Steve Gorham, is there a way for people to also reach you on social media?
Well, the best thing is my website, stevegoram.com. If they go there, I'll send them a signed copy of any of my books.
Great.
But they can get them on Amazon as well. There are ebooks available as well. And thank you so much, Rich. It's great to join you. And until the next time.
Until the next time. I'm sure there'll be a lot to talk about the next coming weeks and months, my friend. I appreciate it, Steve. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.